if I were brave enough, or if I had to communicate, I guess it depends on the message. And for me, it would be like, I need to get this thing to like a police station or something, like somewhere where I...
Hello, hello, hello. I have returned. A very short breakaway there for me. And what an episode it was. Thank you, Ty. Thank you, Ruben. Thank you, Les. Showing us the sights of Madeira. Shout out to the Avor, of course. for hosting the boys. It was a really cool discussion and really nice to, firstly, to see the gents all together again. I know that must have been such a really cool experience. And all three of you for very different reasons as well. But yeah, thanks again. Thanks for all of you that watched the episode. For those of you who haven't, you know where to find it. Episode 42, we are going 42. Strong, man. We are almost nearing, pretty much nearing that 50th episode mark. It's going to be a really special one. Today, however, we're going to get a little extraterrestrial. We're going to get out there. We're going to go out of space, you know, be intergalactic is what we're looking to do today. And
yeah, let's do it.
For those of you that have been paying attention to the news, to social media, you would have heard that there was a moon landing that happened not so long ago, where India became the first nation to land a rover on the south pole of the moon. All right, did you come across the story? What were your initial thoughts? Did you have any was there some excitement?
So I'm not gonna lie, I've been living large in Europe. I've been having a good time. You saw I mean obviously everybody knows I was in Madeira with Ruben and Les, which was out of this world. See what I did there? So I happened to glance. I did see that this happened. I didn't understand the significance of it, but I did see the story. And I think, you know, I think what really surprised me about this story more than anything, and I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but it was like the fact that it was like India that I think they led the campaign, I guess you would call it. I didn't even know they had a space program. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I always thought it was like Russia. I knew that there were countries in the EU, but I really didn't know that India had a space program. So to see that they were successful doing this, it's pretty legit. It's pretty legit. Right.
Shout out to the BRICS, man. Shout out to the BRICS.
Ace, yes, sir.
All of you, those of you who are like Ty and myself, who are like, well, we've heard of space exploration. We've heard of people going to the moon. So what was so significant about landing on the South Pole? And apparently, as seen in the articles across the internet, the South Pole of the moon is the area where nations are focused on for future exploration. So all of NASA's current 13 candidate landing locations for the Artemis program are located near the South Pole. And the reason for this is because the area offers the greatest potential to find water ice, which could be used to support astronauts as well as to make rocket fuel. It also has peaks that are in constant or near constant sunlight, which create excellent opportunities for generating power to supply lunar activities.
Sure. Damn.
Okay. Well, that's... a lot to digest, and I honestly didn't know that there was so much significance for the landing. I honestly thought there was more celebration because it was what we'd call a third world nation that reached these heights for the first time. But staying on space exploration, a few weeks ago, we had also had a few documents uncovered and released by the US government denoting that they had come into contact with extraterrestrial beings. So, all of those people out there who are proud conspiracy theorists, you might have a leg up on this one. There was a intelligence officer, so a former U.S. intelligence officer told Congress hearing on UFOs that non-human were recovered from crash sites. He has said he prefers to use the term non-human rather than alien. So basically, I just wanted to find out from you, man. Do you believe in this? Do you think that there could be extraterrestrial beings out there beyond our universe? And what do you think that they look like? I think that's the main question on my mind at this time.
So, yes, I do. I think it would be a bit ignorant, or arrogant, actually. I don't think ignorant. I think it would actually be quite arrogant to think if you were to believe, what is it, like Professor Proton, and who is the other guy, Mike deGrasse Tyson, he did the other show, right? Where they put into context like how small the Earth is within the universe, like they talk grain of sand. That's like, I think the comparison that they make, Earth is like a grain of sand. And then you try and think of yourself as an individual within that context, but that's a different discussion. But if you, I guess, buy into that, I don't know if it's something that you can buy into or not, because science proves it, but if that's something that you believe in, I think it's very, very arrogant to think that we would be the only life forms that exist. And I think, you know, to answer your question, what do I think they would look like? I don't know, man. Like, there's like the serious answer, and then there's like the, you know, like the fun kind of like, you know, imagination answer. I mean, truthfully, you know, if you really want to look at it, they probably look in a way that would differ from planet to planet. If they're on a colder planet, arguably they would have thicker skin, or they would be probably a lighter color because they have less exposure to our sun. Who knows? I mean, if they're in a different universe with like five suns, they could be very, very dark. Like, or who knows how pigmentation works? So you see, this is like kind of like where my head goes. But firstly, yes, I 100% believe that there is definitely extraterrestrial life. And also, I guess, again, this is like the philosopher in me, like in terms of their intelligence, I also believe is based on context. So like our intelligence is based on what we know and how we view the world. So like, can they talk to us? Can they do this? Do they have advanced technology? I don't know. But does that make them any less intelligent? I don't know. Do I think that they're out there flying in things that are light years ahead of us? I don't know. I read a thing on Reddit that said that like we are one of the earlier planets in terms of like the progression of the universe. So we are like more advanced than other like planets where other civilizations could be developing. So yeah, the short of it is yes, I do believe that there's extraterrestrial life. Yes, I think they're intelligent. And what do they look like? Probably super different to us. But yeah, what about you? What do you think?
Quite similar to you, I had a number of ideas go through my head as to what they look like. Firstly was the movie Aliens, you know, with the very long head. That was the first kind of idea I had in mind. Then I thought about E.T. So a lot more familiar-ish. Yeah, a little short, like weird. Could they be translucent? Then I thought about Ben 10, and you know how you can almost clock a different alien each time before he smacks. Hey, man, there's just so much going on here. So it could be a number of those life forms. Do I think that there are extraterrestrial beings out there? It's possible. I definitely think there's an option for it. I'd say there is a possibility. What do they look like? As you said, it probably varies completely. Intelligence. I'm going to be the biased, arrogant human here and say I think we are slightly more intelligent. And that's obviously based on our discoveries, what we've managed to do and amount to thus far in the history of the human civilizations. So, yeah, for now, I would say that we are the slightly more intelligent species. I'm sure that they've all got their own thing going on. As you said, it's very relative to whatever
context, like, but can I ask you as a man of faith, because I'm not really sure. Actually, today, funny enough, went to a super beautiful church in Milan, by the way. I keep name dropping the fact that I'm in Europe. I'm sorry, guys, but
love that.
Anyway,
love that.
I just wanted to ask you, as a man of faith, how is it addressed in the Bible? Like, is this extraterrestrial life at all addressed? Or is it not something really... Because God's supposed to be the creator of all, which would imply all life. Is it addressed at all in the Bible?
No, it's not addressed. No.
Okay.
It's the creation of the universe, but we don't then speak of other alternative.
Okay, well, I guess that's a short answer to that. Okay, but then let me ask you this then. So let's say we meet this alien that, according to you, is dumb, okay? And, you know, now that poses another challenge. Never mind that it's another species, but it's also stupid, according to you. I hope it does. If any aliens are watching The Big Vibe with Tev and Ty, Tev doesn't mean any offense to this.
No offense.
You encounter this alien. How would you choose to communicate? Like, what would be your method of communication? Like,
that's a tough one, man. That was really a tough one because obviously initially we'd try resort to language. We'd try and try different languages, try syllabalize things, try and break it down into very basic language. And I think I would try and draw a picture. I'm hoping that pictures really speak 1,000 words. And I'll try and communicate what I'm trying to via pictures. Yeah, I think that would probably be my best bet. I don't know if it works, though, because sometimes, and yeah, I guess more often than some, is that pictures are also subject to interpretation, but might not convey the correct, the sentiment that I'm trying to convey here. But I think it would probably be easier than trying to speak in English in whatever other language I can come up with. What about you? What's your...
I think probably gestures. I think that would probably be my way. I mean, also, I suppose a guess, which it's like, what do you... Firstly, I also don't know if I'd actually just be like, hey, like, let's chat. Like, I want to get... Like, I'm scared of, like, bugs and things that I've never seen before now, like an alien. Like, I'm not so sure if, like, there was some UFO... I mean, I've seen Men in Black. The first guy, that rude guy that found the cockroach, man, you see what happened.
Well, the shooter, Yeah,
you see, they were wearing his skin like whatever. So, like an outfit, you see. So, if I were brave enough or if I had to communicate, I guess it depends on the message. And for me, it would be like, I need to get this thing to like a police station or something, like somewhere where I, like, I'm not inviting it into my house. Do you know what I'm saying? So like you and me, let's go. Like, you know, like that kind of thing.
Let's say you're the representative for Earth, man. And NASA's called you up and then like, yo, we just found this thing in Roswell. Tyler, you're the most experienced person because of your range with people. We've seen how The Big Vibe has blown up, you know, globally, and we just feel like you are our best representative. So you basically need to now ask what its intention is for coming to. Let's jump into something like that.
Oh wow, that's hectic.
Because gesture wise, like now... what are you doing, like gesture wise? Essentially, you're asking, what are you here for? What's your mission?
Yeah. See, and now it gets complicated.
I'll put you on the spot.
Do I get a prop?
You've got NASA backing you, so you can get whatever you like.
So I'd ask for a globe, first of all. Nice. Like, I would ask for a globe that, like, I would go. But you see, also, I think when I'm gesturing, I'm probably going to be speaking as well. So I guess I'd hold the globe, like, in its face and, like, point at it and then, like, shrug and, like, point at the globe, like something like that. What picture are you drawing?
Nice. What picture? So I draw a very rudimentary sketch of what this creature is. So creature plus okay, and then question mark. I think signs and symbols. Signs and symbols have been with us for the duration of time. So, but like hieroglyphics and hooter things, it's been with us forever.
Question marks are so specific to language, though. Like,
I guess I'm gonna draw the emoji. The emoji is like.
So, even, you know, Thai as a language doesn't even use question marks. They have a question word. So I think there's other languages even. So you're using a question mark, you think? And also, here's my next question. You assume that aliens have seen mirrors, all right? Is that because now... Also, I don't know your art skills. I know you didn't... Did you take art?
I did visual art. See? For a time such as this. So shout out
was this
to
the moment?
Anika. This is the moment. This is what it all led to.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, but I actually wanted to ask you a question. So, like, now we're talking about aliens and these discoveries landing on the North Pole, South Pole of the Moon, etc. What do you think the reason is? Like, why do you think we're so fascinated by space? Like, what do you think it is?
I want to put it down to just the sheer compulsive nature of all curiosity in people. You always want to just know more, find out more, do more, experiment more. It might not always necessarily be for a positive outcome, but I think that curiosity is such an insatiable thing. You can never fully cure it. You can never fully digest and, I guess, find sufficient exploration for it.
Okay.
What would you put it down? I do think people are just really curious and always want to be a first.
Yeah. So I think that has some weight to it. I haven't been on TikTok in a while, but when I was on TikTok not so long ago, I was going down. So my TikTok algorithm got weird at a stage. Like, it was a lot of like snake catchers because I really enjoyed that for some reason. Like sharks. I've always really liked sharks. And then conspiracy theories for some reason. And it actually got too hectic for me. Like, but the one that played and that actually plays with the sick, they have this like pirate, yo ho, that they play in the background. But basically what it said was that NASA was a deep sea exploration company, or I guess, is it a company or program? I suppose it's a program. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they initially were a deep sea program until, I don't want to lie and say that I know the date. And look, this is TikTok facts. I'm not saying that this is law, but basically what this video says is that the reason that NASA's exploring space is because what they saw down there was so hectic that they're trying to figure out a way for us to get off of Earth. Hey. I don't know if I think it's that. Cynics around the world say that it's like they think that people are looking for an alternative for when we destroy the Earth beyond recognition. But I think it's got more to do with being the first, like you said. I think there is a sense of curiosity, but I don't think like the people that are funding all these things are super curious. I think it's like, we want results, you know. I think someone is somewhere is pissed off that India did it before America or before Russia. I think someone's angry about that. Someone is there like, how have we given you $1 trillion and this poverty-stricken country has beaten you to it?
Yeah.
But I do think that there's a little bit of curiosity. I do think there's an element of firstness, but I also think there's an element of money that's involved. I think that kind of makes the world go round. Like, looking, like you said, yeah, like if people are talking about the potential of making rocket fuel, like, what are we talking about here? You know, how much, you know, what...
The capitalism knows no bounds. It's not bound to the earth. It's both, man. It spans universes. And I think, yeah, like you're saying, there is generally some financial angles to these kind of things. I think I've seen, and I think you have as well, that funding becomes a big discussion point or buzzword when you're looking at research. So
yeah,
I'll take an example as the war on drugs. There are numerous documentaries about it and how that was not necessarily filmed for the sole purpose of combating drug use and abuse in the States, but more so to fund other exploits. But you're having this very official-looking title to kind of be the smokescreen to your other activities. So I think space exploration, deep sea exploration, a lot of these things are a basis for people to fund sometimes not necessarily legal things. But yeah, there is generally always some kind of financial angle to these things.
Can you imagine, though?
Yep.
Can you imagine, though, if the Saudi Pro League is backed by oil money, can you imagine what the Indian League is going to become now if it's backed by rocket fuel money? Hey, Isan, what are we talking about here?
Yo. We're not just buying players, we're buying clubs. Liverpool hey. FC has changed to Hyderabad FC. With something along those lines. But curiously, I'm actually very curious. So seeing movies like Gravity, Interstellar, what have you, if you were heading towards the end of your life, say you were 85,
okay,
you're almost like on your last legs, and they say, Tyler, we'd like to offer you this opportunity to go into our rover, whatever, aircraft that we are sending to land on Jupiter. So
okay.
You have just enough fuel, trajectory, years left of your life to reach it. I know this doesn't make any sense because you're 85 years old, but just play it through. You're on your last leg, and you would be able to send you to Jupiter for what would be a historical first for space exploration, and you are the person to do it. You can enter it. Let's say you entered like a lottery or a raffle and you were the chosen candidate. Would you do something like that? So you've done everything you wanted to now on Earth. You've had kids, you've seen your kids have kids, they got married, everything. You've done everything you wanted to do. Would you do it?
I'd like to say yes, but what I've come to realize is that I'm a man who likes peace. I like things to be comfortable. I like to be chilled. Like, even now I've realized again over my travels, like I like to travel like in comfort. Like, I'll sacrifice seeing things to just be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't imagine myself being very different at 85. In fact, I would wager a guess that I'm probably going to be more so than I am at the moment. I don't know, but I'm a man who likes comfort, so I want to be the guy that says, oh yeah, for sure, I'll be the 85-year-old that lands on Jupiter, but realistically, I'll probably be like, nah, that's way too much PC or too much work, too much for me to do. But yeah, nah, actually, I'm going to be honest, I'm not going for that. What about you?
Fair enough. I also like to think that one day when I've done it all, this, everything that I've loved for, I've done, but I don't see myself doing that mission. It would be nice to be remembered for years and years and years and years.
Legacies, baby.
Literally. See what we did there? but I'd probably resort back to my comfort zone for being here and just, spending my last few moments here on Earth. But, Venus, Mars, there is the saying, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. You've heard about it. Do you have any idea where it came from? Any idea of the context? Why it came about? How it came about?
I've heard that there's like a pretty famous book about this. I'm not sure too much like about what, I wasn't so sure about what the book was about. But yeah, that's pretty much what I knew about it, is that there was a book explaining our differences.
Correct. So this book, titled Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, was a book that was written by the author John Gray. And essentially, it describes the differences between men and women and how we are. It notes our differences in the hopes of having us become better accustomed and knowledgeable about how each other are. Yeah, why women are the way they are and why men are the way they are. And interestingly, there was three lessons that can be picked out from this book. I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to tell me whether or not you believe they are true. The main three lessons picked out from this book. The first one, women want men to listen to them, whilst men desire solutions to problems.
So I actually, I think I alluded to this in one of our previous episodes where, I think I was talking, maybe it was the episode with Aaron. I can't actually remember. Maybe. Yeah. Well, I think it was Aaron, where I said to you, like, what I found has helped in my relationship is, like, I would ask Katia, for example, like, are you looking for a solution to this, or do you just want me to listen? And I don't always do that because naturally, all out, you know, I kind of do
agree
with this.
You're Bob the Builder. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, except I'm terrible with my hands and with stuff around the house. So yeah, like that's, yeah. But yeah, I want to fix things. Like I want to like just solve the problem, you know. And I do find that Katia and I are at our best when I listen more than just try and act. But what do you think? Do you agree with that one?
Beta, man, exactly what you say. It was one of the biggest lessons I've learned, because like you, I want to try and solve the problem. I want to be the one that provides a solution. I want to try and better the situation. I normally, that would be my first call to action. It would be to try and resolve things. Whereas I do understand now the importance of just listening and having a space to vent. That's become one of the key lessons in marriage. For those of you who are looking to get married, don't forget to watch that episode. Lots of great insight there with Aaron. The second favorite lesson from the book was that men are motivated when they feel useful, whereas women are inspired when they feel loved.
Yeah.
True or not?
I think that's true. I do think that's true. I actually wanted to ask you, did you find that, you know, because when you first moved across to the UK, you and Lisa had discussed a whole bunch of things, and you, not that you weren't working, but you were finishing your studies and you were doing like jobs on the side. Do you find that that affected you as an individual?
It actually did the opposite. So I was found to be very useful. Because we moved into an unfurnished place and we basically had to start from ground zero. So there was really nothing here. Literally no bed, no chair, no fridge, no washing machine, nothing.
Yeah.
And it was kind of my personal goal, my assigned task to help try get us things for the house. So that's the period when we first moved over, or probably like earlier this year. That was my to-do list that I found incredibly helpful and useful.
So basically,
from a personal point of view,
to make the house
to make
a home.
House. Yeah,
to exactly. make the home a house. Home a house.
There we go.
No?
Yeah.
House a home.
Exactly.
House a home.
House a home. House a home. Yeah. So personally, I felt really relieved that I could contribute to the house. Yeah. So if it wasn't from a financial point of view, then I could do other things that helped us as a team. And secondly, it was hearing Lisa say this as well. So she was very grateful for the fact that I had the time and the means to go and do this.
Yeah.
Similarly for you?
So obviously for me, when we moved across, it was just before COVID. Neither of us worked for a couple of months, so it was a bit different. But what I've been finding since I've been here now, where I am, let's call it a sabbatical at the moment, and Katya's still working exceptionally hard. I find that, like, if I take the time, like, for an example, to plan, like, this weekend, I know that that helps her a lot, and it motivates me to want to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, this is our itinerary. On Saturday when we get there, we're going to go to this park, we're going to go grab food, we're going to go eat there, and then we're going to go to this place, we're going to go to that place. And yeah, I was motivated by that. You know, I'm not always, I don't always like planning this kind of stuff, but in that moment, and she actually said to me, she's like, wow, this helps me so much, you know. So yeah, I think that for sure is
pretty accurate.
Something that's true on my part. And I can't really speak for the second half of women are inspired when they feel loved. I feel like I can say that I believe that's true, but I can't speak for women, so we'd have to ask
a
our first heart. Female guest one time when we actually get one. But yeah, so I do think, I do feel motivated when I'm useful. So that does make sense. So number two, check.
Agreed. And the last lesson that was one of my favorites from the book was women and men communicate differently and assign separate meanings to the same words.
Yeah.
Yes or no? I also want to say yes. I'm just trying to think of a concrete example to use here. Have you got any front of mind?
I guess it's a little bit difficult to say sometimes, because also like Katia did her master's in linguistics, so like it goes an, even a step further. So I don't know if it's just because of like the what the rule says, or because of like her deep analysis of language goes even, you know, a step further. But I think what they mean here is that when men talk, they are quite literal, like in a sense, whereas women, it says here, women tend to use more words as mere expressions of a general feeling. So, you know, the classic "I'm fine" answer. You know, like if you ask a man how's he feeling and he's like, "I'm fine," he's probably fine. Like, he's probably all right. And then there's that stereotype. I'm not saying it's always true, but there is that stereotype of like, you know, like where a woman's like, you know, I'm fine. You know, it's like, you know, again. So I guess that's maybe what I do think it's true, though. Yeah, I do think that it is something that we've spoken about before, where it's like, it's just like, just be conscious of like what you say and how you're saying it.
Yeah. And the interpretation of that. Language of the question. So if I were to ask generally again, a gent, how was your day? Say, but it was okay. I did A, B, and C. And you'd run through your list of tasks that you managed to accomplish for the day, like your to-do list. Where I'd find women, they'd say, day was all right. And then they'd go into the reasons why.
Yeah.
I had an interaction with Stacey. Sure. Stacey did this and this, and it made me feel like this. Next time, I think when I interact with Stacey, it's going to be A, B, and C. So,
yeah.
Really, that understanding between how we both communicate has been a great lesson, man. So that's one of the key reasons why women are from Mars and women are from Venus.
According to the book.
Lots to unpack there. Lots to unpack. Yeah. Lots of gems in there that you can take away and look to implement in your own relationships. Man, for all of you extraterrestrial, curious people out there, you know, we're also looking to not just become a global name, but a universal name. So assist us, man. Assist us by liking, subscribing, sharing with a friend. Please interact with the polls, man. That's something that we've loved over the large span of time that we've been having it going. It's really cool to see which parts of the show that you really enjoy, and then obviously interacting with the very specific questions of the poll. But yeah, man, we really appreciate your interactions, be it DMs, be it messages, just be it likes and comments. Shout out to my mom. I see you've been leaving a lot of comments on our YouTube pages. Mom, Lisa, we see you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
We're going to continue to strive towards our big goal. As we said in previous episodes, we are looking to break the 100 subscriber mark on YouTube. I see we're up to 82 at last viewing. So thank you for those of you who have been making the effort for us, man. We really enjoy making this show, and it's honestly such a love for us to be able to interact with you and really share the space with you. So that's it for me, man. I just want to say thank you to Ty. Great to be back.
Yes, sir.
And chatting to you again, sir.
Nice to see you.
Your side.
No, that's it. You said everything that I would have wanted to say. Yeah, so thanks to everyone. Tev, good to see you. And everyone, will see you guys same time, same place next week. Yeah.
The one.